coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance. The All Share losing a touch today, pressured by the Resources 10 component, losing 0.2%. Financial 15, a third of a percent in the red. Industrial 25, though, just managing to buck the overall trend today, gaining a slight touch. Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the equity space, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss Offshore. Thanks so much, Viv, for joining us today. So that's the trading day that was in a nutshell. We've had the All Share trading in positive territory for a while, and as we can see, that petering out. And I guess with the risk events, not only locally, but globally in play, not entirely unexpected.
Yeah, I mean, the local stuff, of course, the 1.3 number. I've heard that a couple of times, and the first time we heard it, I think, was probably when the World Bank and IMF came up with those kind of that number about a month or so ago, before load shedding, by the way. So I think a rule of thumb has been for the last couple of years, whatever the Reserve Bank believes the growth rate for the year is going to be, pretty much you can take 50% off that and it'd be reasonable.
50%, as much as 50%.
It's half, basically. You're not going to get much better than that.
What are you penciling in for this year?
Below 1.9, 0.8.
Okay.
I'm unfortunate, but I think that's quite realistic. I mean, load shedding is not over. We probably have some troubles again in winter, you know, and that's really going to hurt us. The confidence numbers are going to go down. The election seems a lot more volatile now than it did at the start of the week with all the stuff coming out with the president's son, and let's see what happens there and what impact that has on what the election outcome is going to be like. And I do think that also globally we are seeing a number of factors out there. I mean, it's not just the South African issue. We are seeing Chinese, you know, numbers under pressure. We're seeing Indian numbers under pressure. We're seeing Turkish numbers under pressure. It's like a number of countries out there, even the US numbers that we talked about right now. So the globe may be under pressure. So if that's the case, I mean, we can easily take or get below 1% for this
and
year.
And just listening to the governor's rhetoric today, I mean, all of those risks clearly underlined. You know, very apparent what we're facing. And it's in the scenario that we've got a player like Capitec doing pretty well today. I mean, those earnings up 19%. It was, of course, it had guided the market towards this stellar set of numbers. But within this context, you know, one wonders just how sustainable earnings like these are going to be moving forward.
I saw some good signs there, actually. I mean, they had impairments down, mm-hmm. Their transaction fees up, and they had basically the amount of loans being going down. Maybe that's something, you know, maybe they're a bit more like careful around that. So those factors made you think that, you know, that's pretty good. The numbers of, like, you know, new customers is huge. I'm not so sure. I mean, they're like a hybrid model. I think they're between the old banks and what the new banks are going to look like. And I can foresee, like, when you have a proper digital bank in South Africa, something like a PayPal, effectively, you know, or a Cash App, or internationally. I mean, for the vast majority, especially of wealthier people, it'll be a very easy way to conduct transactional business.
It will be an easier way, but it's not the only way. And it's a landscape that is becoming increasingly more competitive. I highlighted in the news bulletin that you've got, you know, these new entrants, Discovery Bank, Bank Zero, Time Bank, also coming into this market. It's a market that is seeing a slowing economic environment.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's such opportunity for disruption. Even though it may be a slowing environment, even though it may not be a great environment out there, I think that the incumbent banks at the moment are just, they're just dinosaurs. They're waiting for somebody to come in and just take them over. I mean, you've seen Standard Bank do basically those branch you know, cuts. You've seen those, like, obviously job losses, Standard Bank apps, all those kind of things. But I still think it's going to be virtually impossible for a Standard Bank to translate itself from what it is right now into a modern, you know, new kind of bank. I mean, this is going to be a change, like cell phones versus landlines, okay? And when it does come into play, when you do see internationally people basically using these online apps for most of their business and just basically bypassing the major banks and the branches and all those things here, I mean, can you imagine apps are basically going to zero branches? Mm-hmm. Doesn't make sense, you know, from what their model looks like. But a new bank can do that. And I think that's the kind of thing we should be thinking about going forward. This is a sector that's going to be, I think in 10, 15, 20 years' time, it'll be a very different, there'll be names there you would never have heard of before.
Well, talking about cell phones versus landlines, you provide a nice segue into my next bit of company news that filtered through. We had Zimbabwe's Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube saying Tel 1 and Net 1 must be privatized by September. It's approaching Telkom and MTN as potential bidders. What do you make of that opportunity? if we can call it that, for these telecom players?
Look, I mean, it might be a smart thing. I mean, it takes a while to build the infrastructure that you need for these kind of things. Zimbabwe at some point in time has to turn around. I mean, Zimbabwe has such incredible human capital. We know that for a fact, you know, especially by the success of Zimbabweans in South Africa. You know, this is a very talented population. And if they just get even reasonable governance coming through, I don't know, this governance, of course, is not the reasonable governance, but somewhere down the line it comes through. It could be an opportunity, but it's not going to be something that's going to be this year or next year or the year after. It's going to be a 5-10 year project where you get into the country, you build the infrastructure, and when the country finally takes off, you get a huge advantage because of that.
Do you see MTN or Telkom taking the bait here? Because what's being proposed is a joint package deal now, you know, of both of these players. And I ask you whether you see either of them taking the bait, but I guess more so MTN with all the woes that persist, or, you know, it's coming up against when it comes to its African operations.
I think like Nigeria is a bit different from Zimbabwe. I mean, just because it's not in South Africa doesn't mean it's all of Africa is the same. And Nigeria, I think, is a bit different from Zimbabwe. I think Zimbabwe, South Africans understand a bit better than Nigeria. They understand how things work to a certain extent better, and that might give them an advantage. That being said, I think, yes, considering the disaster that happened in Nigeria, especially over the last couple of years for MTN, it is troubling. Maybe, but you have to understand that before that disaster happened, it was very profitable. It was the biggest part of their business. MTN is probably better suited to doing something in there than Telkom. I mean, Telkom has been, even though there's been like these reforms, I mean, you've seen the kind of stuff with customer service and so on, they've really dropped the ball there. And I don't think that they have the capacity to actually do something in Zimbabwe, whereas MTN probably does.
Okay. What's your stock pick?
Okay. I'm going for Sanlam Capital Protector. This thing is quite an interesting product. It basically gives you 90% capital protection, so the first 10% you take as a loss. But what they do then is they choose about a bunch of different stocks around the world, and then they basically give you 200% of that improvement after tax as a return. The actual return is like almost 300%, but they actually account for the full tax rate. So whatever the improvement in the stocks are, you get 200% after tax as your return. So that's my pick.
One wonders why it's taken so long for that to pop up on the radar screen. Let's leave it there, Viv. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore. What's your stock pick?
Okay, I'm going for Sanlam Capital Protector. This thing is quite an interesting product. It basically gives you 90% capital protection, so the first 10% you take as a loss. But what they do then is they choose about a bunch of different stocks around the world, and then they basically give you 200% of that improvement after tax as a return. The actual return is like almost 300%, but they actually account for the full tax rate. So whatever the improvement in the stocks are, you get 200% after tax as your return. So that's my pick.
One wonders why it's taken so long for that to pop up on the radar screen. Let's leave it there, Viv. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore.